And as I was just sitting listening to this song, and I was just contemplating what God was doing and what He wanted to be doing in our lives, He started to talk to me about some of the miracles that Jesus had performed and that we see in the Bible. And He began to show me some deeper things in each of those miracles. If you have your Bible and you're going to follow along today, we're going to go to Luke chapter 8. We're going to spend most of the day in Luke chapter 8. So you can get heading there. But most of the day. Yeah, I was asked this morning if we were going to have a short message, but I was talking with the lady this morning here about her crocheting and how big her Afghan was going to get till I got done this morning. I don't know. It's what God has to share with us today. But we're gonna stick around in Luke chapter 8. Because while I don't want to take anything away from the miracles in their literal nature, all right, a lame man being healed or a blood disease being healed or a dead person coming alive or a lame person walking, I don't want to take anything away from that physical nature of that, because I believe God is in the business of doing those physical things. But I think there's something deeper in each and every one of these situations that we need to look at, because so often I think we as the church in the United States here read through these and we say, well, this doesn't really apply to me. I'm not lame. I'm not blind. I'm not dead. thank you. Somebody got that. So there's a deeper meaning, I think, that we need to look at. And so in Luke chapter 8 is where God sent me, and I began to look at, there's a whole series here of miracles. There's like five different people that their lives turned around. And so I want to take a little bit deeper look at them this morning. And the projector in the back just died, and the front too probably. That's awesome. That's great. You know why? Yeah, because God wants to do something today. Listen, I felt this all week. That God wants to do something today, and God wants to move today. So don't let any distractions keep God from moving in you today. All right? As much as it depends on you, it's you. Let God move in you today. All right? So Luke chapter 8 reads like this, and if it's not on the screen, it's not on the screen. Just listen intently. I don't care if you got to close your eyes. Just don't fall asleep, all right? But listen, all right? It says this. Now, it happened on a certain day. And these aren't, remember now, when we're reading from the Bible, this isn't just a story. This is an account. This is a written account of what actually happened, okay? These are real events that happened to real people. All right, so this isn't just, oh, this is a story to teach a truth. No, this is a real thing that happened to real people. Now, it happened on a certain day that he, that's Jesus, got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and they woke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Now, who were the disciples? There was a bunch of them were seasoned people on the sea. They were not me who, I haven't been on a boat now in, 10 years? I mean, these were people who made a living fishing. So they knew it, and they knew this lake, and they knew how to handle it, and they knew how to read the signs of coming storms, and they knew how to avoid them. And all of a sudden, a storm out of nowhere rages up upon them, and these seasoned professionals are freaking out. I mean, literally, the only thing they can think is, we are dying here. They lost sight of who was asleep in their boat. The very Son of God is asleep in their boat, and they're worried about dying. Pastor Ed once told me about this scripture: when facing a storm in life, the best thing you can do is be like Jesus, take a nap. I like the idea. Naps make me happy. But you see, what I started to notice about this occurrence in these people's lives was that there's times that I feel like my world is crashing down all around me. And the waves are pouring in on me, and I feel like I'm about to drown. I feel like if something doesn't happen here soon, I'm done. I mean, my life is over. It's not going to go well from here. And the great thing about these seasoned professionals that are in this boat, they're following Jesus. All right, so these aren't heathens now. These are men of faith. Even though Jesus asked them, "Where's your faith, dude?" But they're following Jesus. They're Jesus followers. And they're afraid. Now, I think it's a very natural fear. Being on the lake, they probably knew people who died in a sudden storm. But they forgot that even though they're seasoned professionals on the lake, they are in a boat with the one who controls the lake. And I think we as believers in Christ sometimes forget that when we are going through the storms of this life, we forget that Jesus is in the boat with us. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within you as a believer in Christ. Amen. Jesus is in your boat. You are His. You die or you don't die, you're still His. No matter the outcome. And He's going to take care of you. I mean, quite frankly, there's times I wish I would just go ahead and die because heaven looks a whole lot more promising than the here and now, right? Yeah, come on now. Yeah, seriously. But God's got us here for a purpose. And Jesus had His disciples there for more. He wasn't going to let them die. The 12 dudes in the boat with Jesus here are going to be the ones who are going to spread the gospel after He leaves. He's only on this earth for a short time. He ain't going to let them die. In the same way, God's got a purpose for you as long as you're here on this earth, as much time as you have. I love it when Arlene testified when she got saved. She says, "I might be old, but I'm going to spend the rest of my days serving Christ." Amen. Because Jesus is in her boat now. I understand the world might seem like it's crashing down around you. Your job might be going away. Your relationships might be failing. The economy looks terrible. There's war on the other side of the earth. Things look scary. We're worried about how it's going to affect us here at home. But I'm telling you right now, as a believer in Christ, you have Jesus in the boat. Because what does Jesus do? When they stir Him up, He wakes up, and He arose, and He rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and they were calm. I'm telling you, God is in the business of turning things around, because He took a raging storm, blowing winds, and He made it calm. I've often thought if these dudes had a sail on that boat, they might have been wanting just a little bit of a breeze. Because now they got to work to row. Because Jesus made her dead calm. You see, God is in the changing business. If you're following Christ today, He's in the boat with you. If you're His child, He's in the boat with you. Jesus says, "Why are you afraid? Where's your faith? I'm in the boat with you, dude. It's all right. The 23rd Psalm, one of your passages for this week. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I will fear no evil. You might be a follower of Christ today and the world might be crashing in or on around you, but I want you to know today, Jesus is in the boat with you. And he's taking a nap because he's not all worked up. So take a nap with him. When we continue down in Luke chapter 8, we get to verse 26, and it says, then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee, and when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. Now this dude, a little bit different than the disciples. The disciples were following Jesus. They were with him. This dude is totally away from God. This dude is possessed by demons and has nothing to do with God. In fact, the demons come to him in this man and say, what are you doing here? Are you here to torment me before my time? And they make a deal with Jesus to end up in a bunch of pigs instead of be sent back to hell. Still don't understand that. My theology ain't great on that yet. Why'd Jesus allow that? I don't know. But that's what's written, so I believe it. But this dude was totally away from God. He was totally separated from God. Possessed by a legion of demons. So many, when asked his name, it didn't matter what his name was. They said, we are legion, because there's many of us. A demon so strong that he was running around naked all the time, couldn't even live in a house, and said they'd bind him with chains and he'd break the chains. And he was living in the stone caves of the tombs. As I thought about this man, I'm like, I don't know anyone demon possessed, but maybe I don't. But I know a lot of people whose life is totally out of their control right now. There's something else that's controlling their life right now. Whether it's a demon or whether it's an addiction or whether it's a fantasy or whatever it might be, there's people out there that aren't following Christ who are totally out of control. And it might be you sitting here today. It might be you listening on the computer today. It might be a child of yours. It might be a friend of yours. But I want to tell you, Jesus walked into the situation and he made a change. God turned this man's life around, because what happens next? The people run off that were there down to the city to tell them what happened, and the people from the city come back up. And this is what they find in verse 35. They find, then they went out to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and they found a man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Woo. The power of a God that takes a man who can't even keep clothes on, that can't stay in a house, that breaks chains whenever he's bound, and whenever Jesus comes into his life and touches him and sets him free, he sits clothed and in his right. I don't know who right now has their life is out of control. But I'm telling you, God wants to clothe you and put you in your right mind. I know your siblings. I know your children. God wants to clothe them and sit them in the right mind. I know God wants to take your friends and clothe them and sit them down and put them in their right mind. Amen. I know that's what God wants to do, because he did it here. And our God never changes. Our God is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Come on now. So I know that this is what he wants to do. No, in the reading of this passage, you don't even find anybody asking this man to be set free. Jesus just did it. Maybe your friend won't listen to you, Maybe your children won't listen to you. But maybe when you begin to seek God, maybe God will come and touch him. Because I know God will do it. God can fix it. Wouldn't it be pretty crazy if we would get such a fear? Ed talked last week about the tremble. If we would become so afraid, so trembling at what God is doing in the midst among us. When we see people set that free, that a person goes from being uncontrollable to sitting and clothed and in his right mind. God wants to turn your life around today. I can tell you that. We continue down in verse 41. And it says, "Behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and as he fell down at Jesus' feet, and he begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying." Now here's a dude with some power and some authority. Here's a man who was a ruler in the synagogue, so obviously a God-fearer of some sort. And he all of a sudden realized he can't fix the problem that he's facing. His daughter's dying, and he can't fix it. Someone with power and authority, and he can't fix it. When my mom was having a myasthenic crisis when she was still living and ended up out in a Pittsburgh hospital, I remember going out to see them, and I guess I put a pretty good scare in the doctors. Jenna, if you hear this, if you ever meet someone like me, I'm sorry. But I remember walking up to the doctor that was caring for my mom, and I got like right here to him. I'm like, "Doc, if something breaks on the farm, I fix it. Can't fix this. You need to fix this, Doc." I guess after I left, my brother said, "I'm pretty good scared." Shouldn't have been maybe that way with him, but I couldn't fix it. I didn't want to see my mom sitting there struggling to breathe. I didn't want to see my mom passing away. I couldn't fix it. And I thought, this man has some knowledge. This man knows how to do it. God eventually brought my mom out of that one. He took her home eventually. And I remember right before she passed away, I got to put her BiPAP mask on her to help her breathe a little bit as she took her last few breaths. And I remember the smile she put on my face. There's a time when the dying comes, but there's a time when God wants to turn things around. And I don't know what you're facing right now, and I don't know the struggle you have, and I don't know who's in your life that might be dying. I don't know if it's your job dying. I don't know if you've got a family member that's dying. But I don't care how much power and authority you have, you might not be able to fix it. But I know someone who can. There's a God who wants to turn it around. Crazy thing happens in this account, though, is the scriptures continue then, and another person shows up in the middle of this story. And it says, "But as he went, the multitudes began to throng him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all of her livelihood on physicians, could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped." Now, two different characters here. First of all, if I'm the ruler and somebody else is making the dude who I think can help my daughter, makes him pause, I'm a little upset. I mean, I'm standing at an auction yesterday waiting for a person to load a piece of equipment on my truck, and I see him running all over the place with a skid steer helping other people. I've already talked to you, dude. It's my turn. I'm getting a little bit impatient. That's an auction. This is a life and death situation. I'd be a little bit upset if I was that dude. But this woman, who's about to have her life turned around, sneaks up behind Jesus in the middle of a crowd and touches him. And Jesus is going to turn around and he's going to say, "Hey, who touched me?" I love Peter and the disciples. They're like, "Jesus, come on, man. There's people everywhere. There's all kinds of people touching you." He says, No, you don't understand. He said, "Somebody touched me because I felt the power leave me. I know somebody was healed because they touched me today." Do you need to touch Jesus today? Do you need to know the healing of Jesus today? Reach out and touch his garment. Reach out and grab a hold of Jesus today. Because he wants to turn your life around. Now the woman, when she saw that she was not hidden, she came out trembling. And falling down before him, she declared to him, in the presence of all the people, the reason she had touched him, and how she was immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." You see, this was a whole lot more in this woman's life than just the bleeding of issue. Her life was in torment. For years she had this bleeding issue and she couldn't get rid of it. She spent everything she had. She had nothing left in this world. Trying to get rid of it. She was tormented. She was wore out. Does that sound familiar? Anybody else feel like that? "I've dealt with this for so long. What am I going to do? When's it going to change? How can I make it through life?" I mean, you got to understand too that this woman with her bleeding issue would not have been able to associate with a lot of people. She would not have been allowed to go into the temple to worship. You begin to look at the Old Testament law when it comes to these bleeding issues. She's separate. She's away. She's an outcast. So much so that she's afraid to even come up to Jesus and ask him for help. Maybe the affliction that is bothering you today, you're afraid that if anybody finds out you have it, that they're going to reject you and tell you to get away. Maybe you're afraid that nobody's going to want to associate you with you if they find out that you've got this going on in your life. And Jesus says, "Now, come, touch me. Come, touch me. I'll make you well. And you can go in peace. Your torment can be over. Your lifelong struggles, that which has just been tearing you up inside as you tried to hide it, is going to be gone. And you will find an amazing peace in your life. A peace that passes all understanding." God is looking to turn your life around. Maybe it looks like a physical thing in your life, but the healing is much deeper than that. The healing, the turning around that God wants to give you is deeper than your affliction. And God wants to do an amazing work in your life. Now back to the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. Because As this story continues now, he's still waiting around. And all of a sudden, people come from his house. And they tell him, dude, don't trouble the teacher. Your daughter's already dead. Man, it's too late. Give it up. It's too late. And Jesus says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, don't be afraid. Only believe. And she will be made well. If you can't fix it, and you think it's too late, God says, don't worry about it. Just believe. I'll make it well. She's going to be made well. Don't be afraid. Do you ever think that it was too late for you in life? Do you ever think, it's too late for this to get any better? My friend's been in this addiction so long, it's so late, he's never going to be healed. There's not a time when there is no longer any hope when it comes to Jesus turning it around. There never comes a time when Jesus wants to turn something around in your life that there is no longer any hope. There is always hope in Jesus. I mean, being dead seems pretty hopeless, right? Pretty hopeless. It's just been too long. Jesus didn't get here in time. I didn't come fast enough to tell the teacher about it. Or today, I didn't seek God's healing soon enough. Or I haven't spent enough time in church. And it's just too late now. God's not going to touch me. Lies. Lies from the very enemy. Because God says it's not too late. Have hope. She will be made well. Jesus goes to her house and people are still telling him, she's dead, don't worry about it. Jesus says, go on, get out of here. And he takes the little girl by the hand and he says, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. When things in your life seem like they're just dead and it's just too long, Jesus says, I want to turn that around. I'm going to speak life into you. And I'm going to put my hand out and I'm going to say, arise. And your spirit will return. The Spirit of God can fill you. So much so that he commanded that she be given something to eat. I think after being dead for a while, it must make you hungry. Yeah, woo! And her parents were astonished. I want a little bit of astonishment in our church. I want to see God move. See the little girl arise. One last miracle I want to look at. We're going to jump out of Luke 8 now. We're going to go clear up to Acts 3. Because I don't want you to think also that this only happens when Jesus was physically here on the earth. I mean, we could stop there, and there's truth enough there, and we can point to scriptures that say Jesus gave us the authority to continue his work into the future and things like that. But I want you to see that it happens. I want you to see a real account. And in Acts chapter 3... Peter and John, they're heading up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And it says that that's about the ninth hour. I'd like to read from the New King James, my personal preference. Some other scriptures say it's like 3 o'clock. All right? So about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they're heading up to the temple to pray. And there's a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms for those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asked for alms. Now here's a man that from the time he was born was never able to walk. Was carried all of his life. And now he's a man, it says. It doesn't say a boy, it doesn't say a child, it says a man. So I'm thinking this was a good many years that this dude has been carried around. And they brought him there to help make some money for the family, because how are you going to make money for the family at that time and culture if you can't walk? And so they would set him in front of the temple doors, and as people would come in and out, right, you're coming to church, you feel like, oh, we ought to do something good, there's a beggar, I'll do something good for God, I'll give him some cash, right? Sounds like a great place for someone to beg. So they would lay him there, and they did this daily. This was how he provided for his family. And like normal, here comes Peter and John, and he calls out to them asking for money. Now you see, as I looked at this guy's life, I got to thinking, I don't know anybody lame that's sitting around begging. But you know what? I know there's times in my life I've had the thought, I guess this is just my lot in life. I guess I'm just going to have to deal with being this way. I guess this is just how it's always going to be. I'm always going to get the short end of the stick. I'm never going to succeed. I'm never going to make it in life. I'm just going to be that low-class guy that just kind of makes it through. Never going to have anything nice. Why does everything have to break down all the time for me? Okay, this is getting real now, okay? I mean, I've had this conversation in my head. Can't I have something nice that isn't breaking down all the time? Yeah. Woo! It's real. And I'll bet you there's a whole lot of people go through those thoughts in their head. And Peter and John, they come there and Peter looks at him and says, hey, bud, sorry I don't have any money. But he says, guess what? I got something that's a little bit better than money. And Peter looked at him and he said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and he lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Woo! You know, this man thought his lot in life was never going to change. Until he met two men who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they knew that God wanted to turn their life around at that moment. God wanted to turn the lame man's life around at this minute. You know, as you stop and you think about that guy, that could come with complications. Now, how's he going to make a living for his family? This is all the dude's ever known how to do. What next? What am I going to do? I like what he does do. So he leaped up, he stood, and he walked, and he entered into the inn with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful Gate. And the temple And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened. The dude didn't care what was next. All he cared was, God turned my life around right now. And right now I'm going to praise God. Because God's going to take care of the next step and the next step and the next step. He didn't care. He thought his life was never going to turn around. He thought till the day he died, he was going to sit at that temple gate and beg people for money. And two men filled with the Holy Spirit looked at him and said, we don't have money, but we have Jesus. I want you to know something today. There's people here that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and we know Jesus wants to turn your life around. I don't care who you are today. I don't care if you're walking with Jesus but finding yourself being swallowed up by the storms of life. I don't care if you're separated from God and out of control. I don't care if you're living in a hopeless life situation. I don't care if you're tormented and ashamed in your affliction. I don't care if you're content in your struggle of life. God wants to turn your life around, and He wants to make you a blessing and make you a blessing to those around you. Because you see, with Jesus, your environment does not dictate your future. With Jesus, your future is in His control, not yours. With Jesus, what others say does not dictate your future. With Jesus, fear does not dictate your future. With Jesus, your future has hope. With Jesus, time cannot dictate your future. With Jesus, your past cannot dictate your future. With Jesus, your life can be turned around right now, right today, right here. Amen. And I believe that Jesus wants to do that for someone today. Now, I don't know what the end of this service is going to look like. God told me to say those words. And the only thing I know to ask now is, do you want your life turned around? Who are you today? What situation are you in? Do you want your life turned around today? If you do, ask for it. Seek it out. Ed, Jeff, myself, others, Cheryl, Sheila, Kathy, some of the other ladies are going to be around here. Please come to us. We're going to close in prayer this morning here. And if you want to go, go. If you want to stick around a while and you want to seek God and you want to see your life turn around, then do it. Let's just stick around here for a while. If the Spirit is moving in your heart, don't run off. God wants to turn your life around today. God wants to move in you. He loves you. Just let me tell you this right up front. God loves you. I don't care if you don't feel like it. I don't care if you don't feel good enough. I don't care if you don't think that's true. The Word of God says He loves you. And the Word of God says that He loved you so much, He allowed His Son to die so that you could receive the healing. Amen. That's how much God loves you. If you want your life to turn around, let's stick around and let's seek that for a while this morning. Is it still morning or are we heading into afternoon? I don't know. I love not having a clock. I just got to say it again. God loves you. And God wants to turn it around. Allow Him to do it in your life. Father God, thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for offering to turn our lives around. God, I know we've made a mess of them at times. We've done some dumb things. But I know in your sight it doesn't matter. You just want to love on us and you want to turn our lives around. God, some of us have family members that aren't following after you, and they need their lives turned around. And so, God, I pray that you would just move in those lives. May we seek hard after what you would have this day. God, just turn our life around, we pray. In your Son's name, amen.